Hi everyone, and welcome to the Product Marketing Life podcast brought to you by Product Marketing Alliance. My name is Emma Bilardi and I'm a content marketer here at PMA. Today's podcast is sponsored by Compyte. Compyte is a leading competitive intelligence automation platform designed to simplify the process of competitive tracking across the broadest spectrum of digital channels, helping customers gain and deliver deep strategic insights and rise above the noise in crowded markets. With real-time insights, Compyte provides customers tools to better drive messaging, positioning, product development, and revenue capture. Head to compyte.com for more info and a complimentary free trial. As part of this series, we're connecting with PMMs all over the world about various product marketing topics. And in this episode, we're joined by Vincent Zhu, and we'll be discussing digital accessibility in APAC's emerging markets. Vincent's a product marketing manager at Google, where he drives regional strategy, formation, and executional planning for APAC Android, and he's also an ambassador here at PMA. Welcome to the show, Vincent.
Yeah, thank you so much, Emma.
No problem. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and your role at Google?
Yeah, definitely. So like Emma mentioned, my name is Vincent. I am a regional product marketing manager at Google based out of Singapore. The product that I focus on is Android. So on a day-to-day, that involves, you know, deep diving into the latest consumer trends and insights, working closely with local marketers and other cross-functional stakeholders to strategize and execute on campaigns that support Android market share and mind share within our target users. And as you can imagine, APAC is a very vibrant and diverse place. So you end up having a lot of differences, a lot of nuances, not only across different countries, but also a lot of differences even within a single country. The landscape that you start out in the technical, you know, digital field at the beginning of the year might be completely different by the end of the year. So that sort of, you know, ever-changing state is something that I think really drives me and something that I find really exciting about my work.
Excellent. So can you talk us through some of the major tech trends in APAC, any specifically in the context of emerging markets?
Yeah, I think APAC has you know, a lot of tech trends this year and in the past couple of years. So let me hit on one specifically that's more pertinent to the developed markets, and then I could talk more about the trends in the emerging markets. Mm-hmm. So in the developed markets, so markets in Asia like Japan, Korea, and Taiwan, something that's become sort of a phenomenon over the past, you know, 2 to 3 years is this concept of 5G, right? And 5G, in a nutshell, is the fifth generation, you know, technological standard for telecom infrastructure. And it offers 10x improvements over 4G in areas like, you know, peak speed or latency or connectivity. And so put this more tangibly, imagine sort of downloading a 3-hour movie, which will take approximately 26 hours on 3G, about 6 minutes on 4G, and actually less than 4 seconds on 5G. Mm-hmm. So just the impact that having this sort of technological improvement can have is pretty widespread in society, and it really allows capabilities that are sort of futuristic in nature to become a reality for the first time. So things like smart homes and self-driving cars, you know, remote 3D surgery, our drone services. And then in the context of marketing specifically, it really enables widespread AR and VR-based immersive marketing to take place. And in my mind, I think that's going to be something that really impacts and really changes the way that businesses interact with consumers and how consumers experience products for the first time. So that's sort of the trend in developed markets. And then on the emerging market side, I think something that is very important to me personally is the importance of and the rise in the importance of digital accessibility. And what I mean by that is just connectivity, right? People who are able to go online, experience a lot of these tech trends that we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. And I think the importance of digital accessibility has become ever more important. Number one, because of just the sheer volume of innovations taking place, right? Across all pillars of society, from medical technology to educational technology to the e-commerce boom. So to give some tangible examples here, on the medtech side, you have things like the rise in online pharmacy market, right? Which is in a market like India is poised to grow something like sevenfold from being a $500 million market in 2018 to over $3.5 billion by 2022. or potentially in educational technology, which is really sort of pushing out this concept of video-based tuition. It's, you know, some of the largest startups and fastest growing startups in the country are all ed tech based. And this has a huge ramifications in terms of democratizing education in the country and in the region. And then the other reason sort of why digital accessibility has become increasingly important is because of during and in post-COVID era, essentially, where, you know, schools are forced to move learning online or potentially having a lot of doctor teleconsulting services, which is not only helpful in terms of a personal hygiene, personal safety, but also can have massive impacts in terms of mitigating the strain on overflooding hospitals, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, the rise in digital accessibility, again, because of all the innovations taking place and because of this post and during and post COVID era where things are slowly moving online or rapidly moving online for that matter, this is something that I think is pretty important in the emerging markets.
Okay, so how accessible are these types of technology in the emerging markets? You know, do most users have the means to access them?
Yeah, so I think this is where the picture potentially is not all rosy. You know, you hear about millions of people coming online for the first time every week, every month. But at the same time, I think I read a statistic somewhere today that said, you know, something like 40% of the world's population still don't have basic access to the internet. And out of this group, I think something like one third comes from South Asia, right? And so when we think about digital accessibility in the emerging markets, I think there's three key pillars to consider. So number one, you know, three things that really unlock digital accessibility at a high level, right, for users. Number one is government infrastructure. Mm-hmm. Number two is the price of internet or data, right? And number three is the hardware device that users use to access the internet. And so I think in particularly relevant to Southeast Asia and markets, India, I think right now the government infrastructure and price of internet and data are not so much roadblocks anymore, at least from a basic internet access standpoint. And it's really this hardware device, right, that sort of serves as a bottleneck. So for example, right now the cheapest smartphone in the market is about 40 to 50 US dollars. And actually you have 70% of the population who are unable to even afford the cheapest smartphone for them to access the internet, right? Which translates to, you know, over 500 million users in a market like India who could be potential users, but just don't have the basic means of connectivity. So in that sense, I think that we still have a long way to go in terms of really unlocking digital accessibility in Asia's emerging markets.
So how can we begin to address these roadblocks to digital access? And what's the role of product marketing in all of this?
Yeah, so I think when we think about digital access in 2020, I think the two biggest roadblocks as of right now for Asian markets is still number one, the price, right? The price of the cheapest smartphone for them to access the internet, mm-hmm. Which roadblocks 70% of users. And then after that, there's still various other reasons like, you know, people feeling uncomfortable with the navigation system or people not finding any use cases or don't think that the smartphones will offer value to their everyday lives. So talking about the first point, the biggest roadblock around price, I think that this will really depend on sort of the partnership between public and private sectors in lowering the price of, in either lowering the price of smartphones by coming up with innovations that's going to bring the price down or finding ways of unlocking affordability by, for example, providing, funding programs for mm-hmm. users. A lot of users who come from villages, for example, who don't have a traditional type of background to secure bank funding, right? Helping these type of users secure the funding, the loan programs that's going to allow them to afford these products and go online. So that's kind of it on the price end. I think it's quite macro in that sense, right? Having the government be involved, potentially provide incentives or for major tech companies to come in and really, really innovate. But besides this price point, there's other reasons, right, that really roadblock people who can afford a smartphone, but just choose currently not to. And I think this is where a lot of individual efforts can come in handy, right, for companies looking to enter emerging markets, for them to really invest in user education, right? And this is one specific area where marketing has a lot of control, can have a lot of impact. So when we think about user education, coming in and helping users understand, you know, why the particular product or app is useful in their everyday lives, what the before and after state looks like, and potentially mitigating or addressing user concerns even before they come up, right? Doing a lot of user research, really understanding the target audience, and then helping them mitigate any concerns they might have. Another area where I think marketing can have a lot of impact is by sort of informing product and sales counterparts, right? So a lot of times when the product teams are developing a new product, there's a lot of complexity with and diversity in the user base. So for marketing to potentially lead some of the research, the UI UX research or thought leadership here to provide you know, recommendations to the product team on developing a product that's really catered to the target audience. And then in terms of you know, sales teams who go into emerging markets trying to get mom and pop shops to come online and advertise for the first time, you know, I know a lot of times potentially, you know, there might not be a lot of discourse that happens, right? But how can we help these teams better understand what are the main roadblocks in these target users' minds and to actively address them through, you know, like an empathy-driven approach, right? So user education and informing cross-functional teams, I think are areas where marketing can have an outsized impact.
Excellent. So what about you personally? Is there anything that you've done to address these issues that you'd be open to share with our listeners?
Yeah, so personally, I think from a work angle, this area is something that's very important to my team. And we're sort of evaluating a lot of different options from, you know, product to partnerships, marketing, or rather a very important issue to Google overall, right? And we're evaluating things from product to partnerships to marketing to understand what are some areas where we can drive impact. And where I can speak to most is the marketing side. And sort of like I mentioned earlier, user education is one piece that we think could be quite helpful and something that we can really lead and drive and own to scale impact. And then besides work on a more personal level, I've also started getting involved in quite a few organizations. So for example, a volunteer organization. So for example, I currently sit on the board of an organization called Books of Joy. It's mostly catering to Nepal at the moment, but it's mm-hmm. also looking to expand to other markets in Asia Pacific. And the mission is to really level the educational playing field, right? And it started out, as the name suggests, by providing books and revamping classrooms. But, you know, just given how much havoc, I know, COVID has wreaked on, you know, the traditional brick and mortar classroom style and highlighted the importance of digital literacy, this is an area that we're exploring as well, right? Something as simple as, you know, providing two publicly used computers in a shared library and, you know, providing an instructor, which doesn't seem like that big of a deal to us at all, could have a big impact in terms of, you know, teaching hundreds of students the digital literacy skills that might help them for years down the line, yeah. Right? And so I think the message here really is that, you know, everything has to sort of start somewhere. And again, for you know, someone like me, where, you know, providing two computers, raising enough money to, you know, buy two computers, really doesn't seem like that big of a deal. But honestly, even something like that can drive massive impact. And to continue going after these opportunities and to think, continuously think, you know, what are some other things I could continue doing to bring impact and to drive digital accessibility. I think that's the kind of mindset that's really gonna, you know, help as well.
Absolutely. So this is obviously something that you feel really passionate about. And it's absolutely a matter of equality. So if any of our listeners are feeling inspired to help in any way, where would you point them in the right direction? Where can they go to help?
Yeah, I think first and foremost is, you know, just to read up on the matter, right? So gaining knowledge and by gaining knowledge and reading all these articles on what's going on, I think people would naturally develop more empathy for those who are struggling to gain access, right, to the internet, to digitalization. And, you know, that's something that I think a lot of people in, you know, quote unquote, developed market take for granted. But you will see as you're reading through, especially during COVID, sometimes, you know, you hear about families who had to go through extreme measures to, you know, help support their kids' education, right? As all the schools are closed and it's moved online. You know, people, you know, families, entire families selling, you know, farm animals or prized possessions in order to get their kid that first smartphone so that they can go online, right? So these sort of stories, I think, really really speak to me, right? And this is something that's helped me develop a lot of empathy for users in these markets. And some of the resources that I will recommend. So I guess number one is where you can generally start off is this site called GSMA, and they provide all sorts of articles and news and resources on the state of digital development across the world, right? And there's other sort of tech focused journals and articles like TechCrunch or Tech in Asia that sometimes have articles on these sort of developments as well. Mm-hmm. Sometimes even just a Google search can lead you to local news sources. So for example, when I'm working on a market like India, the Economic Times India is actually a news source that I find myself going to over and over again, right? So again, number one is just to read up on the matter and just to learn more about it. I think the second thing in my mind is to think about, you know, if this is an area that your company is involved in, just to take a minute and kind of think about your company strategy, right? Because, you know, on the one hand, it might be that your company is already doing everything you can to sort of drive digital accessibility and help in this area. But a lot of other times, and in my work included as well, I feel like sometimes things do tend to run on autopilot. So maybe, you know, this is the way we've done things in the past. So we'll just continue doing this way for, you know, without really thinking about it and really taking a moment to step back and think, hey, is this the really best way of reaching these users or helping these users? I think could be very helpful, especially again, like I mentioned at the start of the podcast, how quickly things change, right? In terms of landscape, in terms of consumer trends. And I do find that sometimes marketing messages tend to be fact focused, right? Like, hey, you know, if you use online advertising, here's how, like, factually it can help your business. But sometimes it might be more the emotionally driven factors that you'll never get to the bottom of unless you really take the time to deep dive and understand the local context and where users are coming from, right? For example, it could be, personally, for example, when I was in Southeast Asia on a trip a couple of months back or before COVID. I was talking to a couple of local small business owners, right? And a lot of them actually realized the importance of digitization, right? They actually wanted to go online, but part of the reason why they didn't was because they felt, oh, you know, I've never done this in the past. I don't know where to get started. I feel like I'm too old to change. I don't want to feel like I'm giving up on what I did before, right?
Yeah.
So all these things are sort of more emotionally driven. And I think sort of catering your marketing messages to the audience in this way, sort of debunking their emotional, their emotional roadblocks could be quite impactful in the long term. And then lastly, I think another way is like, you know, just through donations, right? And it doesn't have to be just monetary donations. It could also be donating your time or donating your influence, right? Reposting articles or, you know, signing up for volunteering programs. So, you know, shameless plug, my nonprofit, Books of Joy, is actually looking for volunteers and donations. So if that's something you're interested in, just feel free to go to booksofjoy.org. But there's also a lot of other organizations out there. So one that I've been looking at for India, another one I've been looking at for India is Avastr. So these are sort of NGOs that partner with tech companies to, to kind of drive digital literacy and stuff like that. So again, very pertinent to this discussion as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess the last thing is just, I want to highlight the fact that, you know, striving for digital equality is really an ongoing issue, right? And it'll take a lot of time, innovation, and passion to address. So keep your eyes peeled and feel free to reach out to me if you have any questions about a topic. I'm happy to discuss at any time. But yeah, I think there's a lot of things individually we could be doing, but it really, it's going to be a collective effort for us to tackle this issue in the next, you know, 5 to 10 years.
Okay, excellent. Well, thank you so much, Vincent. We'll have a list of those resources on the blog that listeners can access. And again, I just want to thank you so much for your time. And talking us through this topic that you're super passionate about. I'm definitely going to do some reading up after this. So Thank you for inspiring me too.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for your kind words, Emma. And I really appreciate this opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you have a great day. And again, thank you so much for joining us.
For everyone still tuned in, thanks so much for listening. And if you enjoyed the podcast, please help us spread the word to other product marketers. Before we leave you to get on with your day, if you want to get involved, here are a few ways you can. If you're a product marketer and you want to come on the show and speak about your day, a specific topic, or your role in general, that's one option. If you want to flex your podcast hosting skills, being a guest host is another. And finally, if you or your company want to sponsor an episode, there's a third. Thanks again and have a great morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever you are.